I'm Eric Whitney with Montana News. It would appear that there are significant changes coming in the ongoing Butte Superfund cleanup. The Montana Standard has been reporting on them, and the newspaper's editor, David McCumber, joins us now. David McCumber, thank you for joining us at Montana Public Radio.
Oh, Eric, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Last week, the top administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency's regional office in Denver visited Butte, a man named Sean McGrath. It sounds like he and other parties to the Butte Superfund cleanup announced a new conceptual agreement while he was here. I want to ask about the details of that in a moment. But first, is it a big deal for the head of the EPA regional office to visit Butte?
I believe it is indeed. I think it indicates that the public involvement, engagement on this issue, which has been very strong of late, it indicates that it's been heard loud and clear. This is a guy who's got a lot of power to direct EPA's negotiating stance and ultimately what EPA, as the main enforcer in the Superfund, really can get done here in Butte.
In general, do you think people in Butte think that the EPA is a friend and looking out for their best interests?
Well, you know, people know that without EPA's involvement here, we probably wouldn't have seen any of the cleanup that we've seen, or very, very little of the considerable cleanup that's already been done under Superfund. But I also believe that people think that EPA has fallen way short of what it should and could do. You know, there's been a lot of cleanup dollars expended downstream of Butte from the lower Silver Bow Creek to through the Clark Fork all the way to removing the Milltown Dam, Missoula. And a lot of people in Butte think that's somewhat backwards. And they also think that Butte deserves every bit as good a cleanup as the rest of the watershed deserves, perhaps even better. After all, Butte's made a lot of sacrifices to provide a lot of what the world needed in the way of copper. And when I say backwards, what I mean is, you know, when you start a cleanup downstream and you still have the source of the pollution upstream, the water flows downhill. And so in many ways, to people in Butte, I don't think that makes much sense. You know, people feel that EPA has made decisions here that have not been in Butte's best interest.
In covering Sean McGrath, this EPA administrator's visit to Butte last week, your paper reported that the five parties to the Butte Superfund cleanup reached a new, quote, conceptual agreement. And those parties are, of course, the EPA, Montana Department of Environmental Quality, the State Natural Resource Damage Program, as well as Butte Silver Bow Government and BP, the owner of the Atlantic Richfield Company. What's this conceptual agreement that those five parties agreed to?
First of all, it should be said that what they've agreed is a concept, not a hard blueprint for exactly what's going to be done. But even though it's only conceptual, this was big news, and here's why. There's been a lot of talk. EPA has steadfastly defended the system that they have in place for capturing groundwater contaminated by mining waste, which is near the site of an old smelter, the Parrott Smelter, right in the heart of Butte. But the system they've put in, even though they've defended it and BP defended it, and I should say they didn't put it in, they basically have forced BP to put it in, it leaves the waste in place, the waste that's causing the pollution in place, with the tactic of treating the water in perpetuity rather than cleaning the waste out so that ultimately the water would run cleaner. And research from other agencies, including the Bureau of Mines, has shown that the plume of contaminated groundwater is moving fairly rapidly toward Silver Bow Creek and ultimately toward the rest of the Clark Fork watershed, much of which has already been cleaned up. So there's been a lot of dispute over that. EPA has publicly defended the system in the face of scientific evidence to the contrary. So for now, for the parties to say, well, we agree that not only should the Parrott tailings come out, but also the other waste along the waterway, the diggings east and the north side tailings and the Blacktail berm near Blacktail Creek. The first thing that they have conceptually agreed on is that, yes, those wastes should come out. So that's a major change. Now, I want to stress that what they've basically agreed on is, well, okay, they should come out. We'll now negotiate about how much should come out, who will pay for it, how much money will be spent on it, what method will be used. So you can see that it's really a starting point, but it's an important starting point. The other four core areas that they have agreed in concept on are the need for stormwater retention basins along the upper Silver Bow Creek, something that everybody has now agreed needs to happen. Also, Blackdell Berms, there's the agreement that there needs to be some work done along Blackdell Creek, including that. And sort of a catch-all concept, which is connectivity between upper Silver Bow Creek, which is what they're working on now, and the part that has been cleaned up, streamside tailings, the lower part of Silver Bow Creek and the Clark Fork. And connectivity basically means it's all going to get cleaned up between here and there. And that includes a lot of potential cleanup. So there are a bunch of major issues kind of wrapped into that one. And then the fifth and last issue that they agreed on was that some areas that were either not remediated or were what they call under-remediated, in other words, not fixed correctly, on the Butte Hill, some areas need caps of clean soil. So those are the things. The fact that they've agreed on this is basically a starting point now, sort of frames the rest of the negotiation. So it is a big deal, but it doesn't mean that they've reached a final agreement by any means.
And these discussions among the parties to the Superfund settlement, which is still pending, they've typically been conducted behind closed doors. The public hasn't had much access to those negotiations or been able to comment. Do I have that right? And
that's absolutely correct.
And it sounds like that may be changing now?
Well, I hope so. For 14 years, these negotiations have been governed by a confidentiality agreement in the form of a federal court order. And basically, all of the parties to the negotiation just went to the federal court and said, we want an order making these talks private. And it's my feeling, as certainly as a journalist, as well as a citizen of Butte, when I see the federal government, two agencies of the state government, and the local city-county government participating in negotiations that will have an enormous effect on the future of this town, and doing so behind closed doors, I think that's wrong. I just feel that those meetings should presumptively be open. So we have been increasingly discussing litigation to open these hearings to the public, and it's not lost on the state and the EPA and the local government that we have been discussing this. And so they have proposed doing something which isn't what we would like to see, which is the negotiation just being open to the public. But it is certainly a significant departure from anything they've done before. They announced this last week that each time they reach an agreement on one of these five core issues, they're going to take that agreement to the public right then and get public comment and then go back and try to reflect the wishes of the public before they move on to the next issue. Now, all of these issues are basically being negotiated concurrently in the talks, so it's not quite as neat and tidy as that. But basically, they're saying when we get to the point of really having a pretty robust agreement on one of these issues, it's going to come out to the public. We're not going to wait until the whole thing is tied up with a bow and then take it out. I mean, the fact is that other consent agreements, when you wait until the very end, after all the negotiating is done, to have public comment, basically it's window dressing. The public comment has not resulted in changes to the agreement. And in a way, it's a formality as opposed to actually engaging with the public. So whether this will be better than that remains to be seen. It's all in the execution. We're going to be watching with great interest to see exactly what the mechanics of this are like and how it's going to work, because we still believe there may be the possibility that we're going to need to sue to try to open these negotiations up.
Did the EPA or any of the other parties to the Superfund negotiations give you any kind of a timeline for when they might be dropping some of those decisions you talked about, when the public might be able to chime in, and then when the overall Superfund settlement is supposed to be wrapped up?
Mr. McGrath from EPA and Tom Libers from the State Natural Resources Damage Program, both have said that they're aiming at the end of this year to be finished with the consent decree negotiation. When the individual pieces would come out of negotiation is hard to say, and whether they'll be able to stick to that timeline is also hard to say. And one of the arguments that's been made against the public being allowed to witness the negotiations themselves is that it's much harder to negotiate in the public eye and that it will slow the process down. It'll take a lot longer. My feeling on that is that, yes, it's harder and it'll be messier, but democracy's messy. And if what you get at the end is a document that has full public buy-in, where the public has been engaged every step of the way, you've got something that's immensely more valuable than something that you're shoving down Butte's throat. And as far as the time's concerned, again, I think that, yeah, it might take a little longer this way, but the time is well spent.
And the Montana Standard and a local group there in Butte called Restore Our Creek, you guys have been holding public forums on the settlement already. Can you tell me about that and what you've been hearing and what the timeline for those are?
The first forum we held was an informational forum, and we invited all the participants in the negotiations to come and present to the public. ARCO chose not to attend, BP ARCO, but all the other parties came and made a presentation, and we had a couple hundred people there, and it was pretty great. I mean, people had a chance to speak directly to the negotiators, and speak they did. I mean, it was sometimes contentious, but a very, very good exchange of thoughts. The subsequent meetings that we've been co-sponsoring with Restore Our Creek have been what we've called visioning workshops. We want the public's input as to what a cleaned up and restored Upper Silverbow Creek might look like, what people want to see, what features they want to see, how they believe it should work. And this is a stretch of Butte that runs from the Civic Center down through town right to the visitor center near the Chamber of Commerce where Blacktail Creek and Silverbow Creek meet, right through the heart of Butte. So that's why we think it's very important to get the public's view of what should be there. So we've had three such sessions. We're going to have at least one more. And then we are going to take that feedback and put it into a presentable form and give it to the negotiators. And Sean McGrath promised to come back to Butte to accept that document, probably sometime in late August or early September of this year.
David McCumber, thank you very much for joining us.
It was my pleasure, Eric. Thanks for having me.
David McCumber is the editor of the Montana Standard in Butte. I'm Eric Whitney.